live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee. This is a special edition of Wisconsin's Afternoon News in depth for Veterans Day. Now, here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, Telly Hughes.
Welcome. This special hour is our heartfelt salute to military veterans, featuring powerful stories from the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, insight from a Medical College of Wisconsin psychologist on veteran care, and inspiring business leaders' journey from service to success, a look at how empathy training is shaping the next generation of caregivers. All of that after we get you on top of some developing news.
This is the 3 at 3 on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Number one, Tally, the government shutdown. Ugh. Okay, so we are at a clock count. 41 days, 16 hours, and 10 minutes. And counting. Breaking the record already for the longest government shutdown in history, it took ultimately 8 senators of the Democratic caucus to cross lines and approve a funding package late Friday. Now it needs to pass the House, and House Speaker Mike Johnson put his members on a 36-hour limit to get back to Washington and vote. They have that amount of time to get to Washington and get to the floor. The House plans to be on the floor at 3 o'clock, so right this time tomorrow afternoon, our time. Multiple votes are forecasted for tomorrow, and there is razor-thin GOP majority. And House Speaker Mike Johnson has said to the press he will likely need the president's help to get this done and get it to the president's desk.
Wow.
The funding package in front of all of us, the Americans, Congress, would bring back SNAP benefits, pay for public workers like air traffic control through January 30th, okay? It includes 3 full-year spending bills as well for various areas, including Veterans Affairs, Department of Agriculture, and the deal guarantees a future Senate vote on Affordable Care Act subsidies, meaning that the Senate is just promising a vote, but the outcome still uncertain. Number two, West Allis and Wauwatosa are considering merging their fire and EMS services with meetings on the docket tonight in Tosa. Tally, you live
in
Tosa.
You're right.
You still have time at 6 and 7 o'clock. You can text meeting to our setting limited talk and text line 855-616-1620. Meeting, and it'll take you to a direct link to the City of West Allis page with all of the details on the meeting happening in Wauwatosa.
Now, Julia, that seems like it moved really fast, because at first it was just, oh, we're going to have some discussions to see if this is something that we can possibly do. Now, there are already meetings, and it seems like this is going to happen. And from my standpoint, personally, being a Wauwatosa resident, as long as it doesn't affect response times, I think it'll be fine. If it's going to ultimately save the city money but doesn't affect the response time, I'm good with it.
When you combine those two, that the population goes up, so the amount of funding that both cities could get by consolidating goes up by millions of dollars. There are positions that could be eliminated. If you text meeting to the Sighting Limited Talk and Text line, it will help you download a PDF. And it will take you to the amount of workers that could be affected, but also the tax benefits. So,
wow.
Also, tell it you still can go to that meeting at 6 or 7 o'clock.
Will we be off?
Number 3 is what this hour is dedicated to, honoring our veterans. Earlier this month, John Mercure volunteered, along with myself. I report on behalf of 620 WTMJ as a nonprofit Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. Flew out our veterans out to Washington, D.C. for a magical day. I spoke to one Vietnam veteran at the Vietnam Wall, Mark Rouleau. He describes how he was awarded the Purple Heart. This Marine wanted to set the scene for us for how he got it. He was wearing a vest the Marines wear, and he wanted to describe how that played a role in saving his life.
We wore flak jackets. It's a fiberglass vest. And we never wore any shirt, just that flak jacket. And it's just a vest, and it stopped shrapnel from like a grenade or artillery.
He said there was a tag, Telly, on the back of that vest, and it said 97% of all combat wounds are caused by shrapnel. Wear this wisely.
Wow.
So I thought that was
And it was in January, and it get a little cooler. And my, I had an old one, and it didn't zip.
He kept it on. And here's what happened 2 days later, January 24th, 1966, when that vest did not zip up. Now, he's pointing to the bullet slicing his entire back from shoulder to shoulder. You'll take a listen.
But the bullet didn't go in, but it ripped me open from the impact. And it knocked me to the ground. So the corpsman came up and said, what happened? I said, I think I got shot. You know, so they said, let's go in a hut here. And the impact ripped my back open. And they bandaged that. But
thank goodness you were wearing that. If you weren't wearing that.
I'd be dead. But I mean, the thing, I don't know what this body armor is now. I don't know if it can stop a rifle, but I mean, where if that's a direct hit on the slack jackets, it would go right through it with a rifle. It was the angle that the bullet's power went to the right instead
of physics, yeah.
And I have the bullet. I dug it out.
Was in your body?
No, it was in the back of the flak jacket. It's like all the way through, like from here to one end to the other. But I cut it out, and I got it in the box with the purple heart. Yeah.
He has the box that almost killed him with the purple heart.
Wow.
The bullet. It was the first time he saw the Vietnam Wall telly. He was there in the 60s. But it had not been built yet.
Very moving. Very moving. Man. When I think back, you know, there's that guy who was sitting with us had four purple hearts. I knew people that had two purple hearts, but I never knew. That's unbelievable to me.
That was Mr. Cohen. He was talking about someone who's sitting next to him that had four purple hearts, and he told me he doesn't have nine lives, he has four. We'll be sharing many more stories up next. John Mercure with a full circle moment with a veteran and his son who were on that honor flight as well. It's 3:16 on WTMJ. Wisconsin's Afternoon News podcast is sponsored by Dave Drakamp Heating. Your comfort is their family tradition. Visit DaveDrakamp.com. All right. Welcome back to our special Veterans Day Hour. John and I were on the Stars and Stripes honor flight about 10 days ago. Our next segment begins a half century ago when an unprecedented evacuation of orphans took place when the U.S. military airlifted infants from Vietnam.
50 years ago, the Vietnam War ended and Operation Baby Lift began. President Gerald Ford announced the United States would bring Vietnamese orphans to America.
I have directed that money from a $2 million special foreign aid children's fund be made available to fly 2,000 South Vietnamese orphans to the United States as soon as possible.
It was an epic undertaking. Specially outfitted military cargo planes began bringing the children to the United States.
It was an operation that had never been done before, so it's unprecedented. Yeah. For them to do something ad hoc like that is really amazing.
Tim Hoy was 4 months old when he was rescued from a communist orphanage and brought to Wisconsin. Looking back 50 years, he says the mission is almost impossible to comprehend.
The amount of different people involved, the military, civilians, the Vietnamese, government agencies all around the world, it's very difficult to fathom how they're able to bring children from Vietnam and then placed in various countries around the world.
Tim's mom, Letty, remembers that April day 50 years ago like it was yesterday.
I said, this is what we're going to do.
Letty and her husband, Tom, were unable to have children and were trying to come up with a game plan to start their family. She saw an article on Operation Baby Lift in a magazine.
Called my mother and said, I'm going to follow up on this.
When Tom got home from work, Letty met him at the door, and before his coat was even off, she had told him the plan. He was thrilled.
We talked numerous discussions before we got married, and we knew we wanted children.
Then the waiting began. Plane after plane of precious cargo arrived in America. Eventually, the flight slowed to a trickle. Letty and Tom began to lose hope. On a warm spring afternoon, Letty nervously went to meet with her caseworker for what she feared might be the last time.
She just, with her finger, slides the smallest piece of paper across the desk right in front of me. And what was on that little slip of paper was Timmy's name. And she says to me, your baby is going to be at Mitchell Field tomorrow afternoon, like at 3:30.
The Hoys had no baby supplies at home. They hadn't wanted to jinx their chances. Less than 24 hours later, Timmy arrived from Vietnam.
The very first night that we have Tim, we didn't even have any place to put him. So my husband had an office in the home with an empty four-drawer file. We pulled out the bottom drawer of the file and put a pillow in the bottom. And so the first two or three nights, Timmy slept in the bottom drawer of a four-drawer office file.
Timmy may not have had a proper crib, but he had a home.
He was our child as soon as we saw him. That was 4.5 months old, and there was no question he was our child.
I wouldn't have changed anything for the world.
Eventually, Tim returned to Vietnam and visited his orphanage, which is now home to a local newspaper.
And I thought about what would my life be there. Could I have been a farmer? Could I have been left in that orphanage? Could I have been successful?
Tim says Operation Baby Lift wasn't life-changing. He says the mission gave him life.
Who knows where, you know, I would have ended up, but it's something I do think about, and it guides me today. There are no winners in war anywhere, but there is a ray of hope and sunshine that can come from war, and this is one of those rays. You know, I'm just very thankful.
A few years ago, Tim and his wife adopted a daughter, Ava. Tim says that completes the circle that began 50 years ago in Saigon.
It's a blessing. And we're so happy to be parents.
John Mercure, WTMJ News.
What an incredible story. John had the chance to catch up with Tom Hoy and his son, Tim, near the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C.
I want to start with you, Tom. Tell me how your day's gone.
It's better than I thought it was going to be. It's emotional. I get all cracked up on it. See all the veterans and what you've done with this thing. I mean, it's really something. I can't believe it. I thought it would be just, I was hesitating going on this thing, and then they finally said I should really do it. You know, to have come out here with Tim and then to see all of the people that,
you know. 50 years ago, this beautiful boy, who's now a man standing next to you, came from Vietnam, an Operation Baby Lift, and he's been such an important part of your life. What's it like to be at the wall, to be here in Washington with your son, Tim?
There's only one thing that came close to it when I went to see the wall once, and there was Nancy Sinatra here. These boots are made for walking, and I have a picture with her at the Korean exhibit. It gives me a different outlook, because when we went to Vietnam, there was some teenagers that threw raw eggs at us, and it really wasn't, we weren't really respected at that time, you know, and to see the respect it's amazing.
Yeah. You deserve all this respect. You deserve to be treated like a hero. I mean, you served, you are the flag. We appreciate that and respect that.
All right. I told my kids I want that American flag on my coffin.
Thank you for your service. Let me talk to your boy a second. Tim, what's it like? I mean, look at your dad. What's it like to spend this day here with your dad?
Well, it's definitely an honor to be a guardian for my dad, a Vietnam vet. What's been amazing is the outpouring of welcoming and love and respect that strangers have shown to all the veterans. And as a guardian, we were instructed to make sure that our veterans' hands were open. And I wasn't sure what that meant until we got to the airport and so many people wanted to shake Dad's hand. We're at the memorials now. People are coming up to him, shaking hands as if they've known him all his life. It's been an amazing day, for sure.
So you were born in Vietnam. Your dad served in Vietnam.
Right.
You brought your family here today to Washington to honor your dad.
Yeah.
Talk about that full circle moment.
It's really hard to put into words. When I think about really the circle of life, I think about all the people who've been part of my life from the beginning. Here to honor the veterans, I also want to honor all of the volunteers and the nurses and the pilots and everybody who was part of Operation Baby Lift. For me, that's what this honor flight is about. It's about Dad, it's about all the vets, and about everybody who's been part of this war, part of that war, and all the families involved too.
our heartfelt salute to military veterans all this hour, and we have that coming up. Also, if you text VETERAN to our Siding Limited Talk and text line, VETERAN to 855-616-1620, takes to the landing page, a carousel, all of the different things that John and I collected with the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. Our special hour, Wisconsin's Afternoon News In-Depth for Veterans Day, starts right after the news. Welcome to our special on Veterans Day. We want to honor our veteran heroes. John Mercure and I were recently on the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, the last of this year. John spoke to veteran Jerry and his daughter, guardian Amy. Jerry had an amazing mission to the Atlantic Ocean.
Jerry was in the Navy, as I said. It was 1966 when he got a pretty cool assignment. He was told that the Gemini space capsule carrying Neil Armstrong was going to splash down in the ocean. They thought, this is how far space has come, they thought it might splash down in the Atlantic. It ended up being in the Pacific. This is Jerry on flight day talking about that moment with Neil Armstrong bobbing around next to his ship, which ended up rescuing the astronaut.
What do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember we were stewing shell stars for Vietnam, and they said they're going to give us a break. They're going to hook us up in case the spacecraft lands in the wrong ocean. You're telling me they're supposed to land in the Atlantic, and they might land in the Pacific? It lands in the Pacific. Okay? We're barreling ass to get this space capsule. It landed in the Pacific. There's one ship ahead of us. Of course, they're going to helicopter some aircraft for you. But everything's so top secret. Mm-hmm. No cameras allowed. No pictures. Anything. I've been on the ship for 2 years. I know everybody. John, you're going to be picking them up. I got a spy camera. Take some pictures for me. And here are the pictures. And this, what makes the story great is this one picture of one astronaut, Armstrong, first man walking on the moon.
So he gave his buddy, who was on deck of the destroyer, his little camera. He called it his spy camera. And he took the pictures of Armstrong in the water. They weren't supposed to do that. You can see the pictures right now of a young Neil Armstrong by texting the word watch to 855-616-1620. Pretty cool stuff.
Knowing what we know now, Neil Armstrong, first guy on the moon, historic space race that we win. Think back now to what that moment was like. And what does that mean to you now as you reflect back on that?
It's just awesome. It's an awesome story. You know, the odds, I think I could win the lottery with the odds I won there. You know, how can you land in the wrong ocean?
Your ship's brush would be part of that. Can you talk about the significance of that and how that makes you feel?
It's unbelievable. It makes me feel, you know, so awesome because it's once in a lifetime.
And his daughter, who was with us, was in tears talking about spending the day with her hero, her dad. This is Amy Schmidt.
Amy, tell me about today.
He was such a good dad, and I'm just glad he got a day for him.
Amy, you've heard the stories of what your dad went through. How does it make your heart feel to see how he's celebrated today?
I mean, it makes me feel amazing. Like I said, he's an amazing human, and he's very generous and kind.
If you'd like more on the day, including pictures, links, a story, and how you can help us make a difference for our veteran heroes, text the word VETERAN. VETERAN to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620.
Fantastic. Just text VETERAN. Now coming up next, there is a Veterans Empathy training event that's happening tomorrow. It is unbelievable. It's happening at the VA Medical Center in Concordia University, and professor and a student who will be there is going to be talking to us in studio about that live next. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is in-depth this entire hour, this Veterans Day. And I want to highlight something so incredible that's going to be happening tomorrow, a Veterans Empathy Training event. Volunteer veterans will share their experiences with Concordia students. that are in speech-language pathology. It was all created by McKaylee Schmitz. She's a speech-language pathology professor at Concordia University, and she also brought a student with her, Madison Post, a graduate in speech-language pathology with Concordia University. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So can you tell me what the Veterans Empathy Training, what you've learned so far, or how this is so different from so many other things that you have learned?
Oh, okay. We had some, we had a group of veterans, some in the professional role as well, come a couple weeks ago and speak to our class. They came to Concordia campus and they spent a few hours with us, just talking about like their experience with the VA and the medical field and everything that they experienced on that end. And basically, like, they talked to us a lot about like what we can do as clinicians moving forward in the healthcare field and like what we can do to look at them as people and have conversations.
So how old were you when 9/11 happened?
One, not even.
Okay. So this is something that you are you learning the scope of it? Because who did you speak to that had multiple brain trauma injuries that you grew close with?
Right. So we spoke to a veteran from the Iraq area, mm-hmm. right? And he had he was out there active duty, and he was part of the first line of defense. So he would go out, and the way that he described it was he would go out and he'd get blown up day one, and then he'd come home for a couple hours and barely get any sleep, and go out day two, get blown up, mm-hmm. come home, sleep for a couple hours. They'd check in with him and ask him if he was ready to go, and they'd go back out and do it again over mm-hmm. and over and over.
So we're training our next generation, like Madison, who's joining us for our special, and we have this is incredible. The professor, McKaylee Schmitz, I really appreciate it. Can you tell me, you know, the impact you think this is going to be making on our next generation?
I think that speech-language pathology as a field really balances the art and the science. So we center ourselves in neuroanatomy and neuroplasticity, and we understand anatomy and physiology and brain-based science. But the art and purpose of human connection and communication is more than that. And having the opportunity to interact with veterans and with individuals who've been impacted and who maybe require our services but haven't been able to access them, either because they didn't know they could and didn't know that we were available to them or that that work fell within our scope of practice, I think that we can do a really great job. We've proved that in higher ed, teaching people to take tests and pass quizzes and pass exams, but the opportunity to actually interact with humans who are willing and able to share their story and who have gone through the empathy training to train my clinicians in greater empathy so they know how to guide them and give them that feedback so that we end up really centered in person-centered care. And I think that is really special. We can do all of the academic learning in the classroom, but this is very different.
Dr. Schmidt, what does that training consist of? Because when you talk about veterans and people like them opening up about their experiences, that can be very, very touchy, emotional. Mm-hmm. A lot of them go years without even recalling some of the things that they experienced. So when you are training these students to interact with these veterans, what are some of the things that go into that?
I mean, I think at the core, something we try to remember in our field of speech-language pathology is that in general, if people are spending time with us, it's probably not their best day. Things are generally not going the direction they had hoped if they need our services. And so we start with a foundation of person-centered care from the beginning. The difference in veterans is I think very often we think of veterans as my grandfather served in World War II. He was a Navy captain. You know, it's grandpa and it's a little bit distance and it's maybe not the person walking down the street who is your same age or the individual who's struggling to maintain employment or maintain their relationships. And so from this context, we're really trying to center our knowledge and our learning and our experience and our connections with them on their humanity and acknowledging that you're not just a veteran, you're also a partner and a child and a spouse and an employee and a person who saw some things that most of us are probably never going to experience. The veterans who are sharing their time with us have been doing really big, really brave work with the VA, with the Vet Center, with the Brave program out at Frederick, so that they have the support and they've started to do the processing and they're reclaiming their own identity. And when AJ came and spoke to our class, it was the first time he had ever spoken publicly, ever. Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was really powerful. And I got an email from his mental health clinician the next day that said that was the first time since he came back that he felt like a person that was heard. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yes. And Madison, I'll ask you the same question. I mean, in terms of knowing these are some of the things that breakthroughs that you might get these veterans to open up about. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a serious thing.
It's very like when you think about like doctors coming in, they come in to get certain information and they only want to talk to you for a couple minutes to get the bare minimum and then they're out. Where with our field, we spend hours with these people. Mm-hmm. And like even like with the people who came just to sit with our class, like we spent over 3 hours with mm-hmm. them, which is why it was like an experience for us to like provide the environment and stability and like the comfort for people to open up. I think our role is a big piece of that because of the amount of time that we get to spend with them.
Nice.
Wow. Professor Smith, I so appreciate it. So are you going to the VA Medical Center? Tell me about.
We are.
So we visited the class and now what do you think it's going to be like when you actually go to the VA with the students?
I mean, I imagine I'll cry there too. It's mm-hmm. what I do, as Madison can attest to. So the empathy training tomorrow is something that Dr. McBride of the VA has been building with medical students for some time. And so we are the first group of speech language pathologists that he is including in this opportunity. And there are a number of veterans who have experienced the empathy training who know how to guide medical professionals through it. And so what we are doing is to honor their time and to honor that connection is we are providing a meal for them. So we're going to break bread. We are going to have a potluck and share a meal first. And then within the context of that meal, because again, it's at the root of it is human connection and conversation and those core pieces of like dignity and identity and being heard. And they have volunteered to give of their time and their story and their energy and all that's going to cost them to help my students grow in the ability to ask the right kinds of questions, to hold the right kind of space, to follow up with the right amount of information. And they're able and willing to give them feedback. So mm-hmm. I suspect it's going to be pretty powerful. Dr. McBride is really, really proud of this program and for good reason.
What an incredible way to be able to have a meal and just let it be kind of like a family and, mm-hmm. Just let it breathe. Madison, what do you now think about when you're going to be going into your career mm-hmm. this Veterans Day about our veterans of war after taking this class and seeing this perspective?
Well, specifically, like Dr. McBride gave us very specific things to do, right? Like he gave us very specific strategies that I think he's going to enforce again tomorrow when we go back. Part of that is like kind of like sectioning off the identity that they have with it, right? Like some people who serve identify as veterans and some do not, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's when you need to like watch how you word things. Like you ask like where and when did you serve rather than asking are you a veteran, because a lot of people do not identify as that, right? So we have to like kind of like break it down into more like familiar terms that they feel more comfortable with rather than just like approaching them with this big identifier question.
And we just have 1 minute left. I wish we had like 10 minutes more. But Professor Schmitz, what is your message to some veterans who may be listening? How has this experience in shaping this new class, how has it changed you, that being Veterans Day?
I think that our mission as speech language pathologists calls us to serve with both head and heart. And the more veterans I meet and have the opportunity to interact with, the more I see that that's exactly what they have done and continue to do.
It's fantastic. This was our Wisconsin's Afternoon News in-depth hour on Veterans Day, and I'm so glad I was able to talk to the future in medicine and Dr. McKaylee Schmitz, speech pathologist and speech language pathology professor at Concordia University and Madison Post graduate speech language pathologist, future pathologist, our future generation. Thank you so much. It's